go so well. Last night I went to Fred Meyer, and one of the things I got her was a dozen roses. And so anyhow, I get home and set them down. Everything looks nice, and then she sees the roses. She's all happy, and she picks them up and goes to unwrap the thing around them, and all the petals fell off. All of them. Not one stayed. There's a dozen roses there. You would think at least one petal might stay on a stem. And they just went, and she's just sold them. One by one, they're all going to, and I told her, it's just like our marriage. It's just falling apart. And apparently what had happened was, I was on my way to church, and I stopped and picked them up. I didn't know this till tonight. I guess it's happened to Brother Jordan. He has experienced this. I was getting ready to go back to Fred Meyer, thinking, man, they sold me defective flowers. And a design, when your wife picks them up, they fall apart. It's a rather cruel joke. But apparently, if you leave them in the cold for too long, I guess, that they don't last. They die. And so that is apparently what had happened, because I had to go to the church for a few hours last night after that. And so I think just sitting in the car killed them. But anyhow, it was a very memorable Valentine's Day present. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to the beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I certainly ask your blessing tonight, Lord, as we continue to look at the family. Lord, you know the wisdom that is needed for each and every home that is here. Lord, you know how it needs to be spoken and what needs to be said, Lord, to strengthen the families and the homes. So, Father, please fill me with your Spirit. Bless tonight, Lord. Strengthen our families, Lord. And may you receive all the glory and honor and all that's said and done. Father, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Of course, in Genesis, we see the very first family that is formed there with Adam and Eve. And I use that text for the very first sermon in this series on the family, as we're going into the family now and looking at that. And you see God's pattern for marriage in that. We talk about all that, one man and one woman and all of God's design, the joy that is supposed to be there, and how God allowed Adam to see his need of a wife, And, you know, and really it is just an amazing way of how God went about it. He didn't have to do it that way. But he wanted Adam to see his need. He had realized it. And of course, then God put the deep sleep upon him. He takes the rib from Adam. He creates Eve. She becomes a living soul. And then he wakes up Adam. And the Lord then brings Eve unto Adam and presents her unto him. Now, right away, Adam knew that was a help meet for him. But, of course, he also recognized she was not exactly like him. We also know God was establishing a pattern for marriage and how it is going to work and how he intended it to work. Remember, this is still in the Garden of Eden. This is before sin. This is before, you know, this earth has been cursed. This is still when everything is perfect. And God wants everything to be perfect for Adam, for Eve, and of course, who knows exactly how long there, but for a while everything was right. But of course, sin came into the equation by Genesis chapter 3. We have the sin comes into play. And that changed, you know, everything for the most part. We come into the book of Ephesians here, into the New Testament within our text. And I think pretty much for every single husband in here, it is our favorite verse in the Bible, is Ephesians 5:22. We don't say that because we don't, you know, we can't. But the reality is it's our favorite verse of every single husband that's here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Now, I am joking with that. When I was in PNG, you know, began teaching on the family and the principles that were laid out in the Bible of husbands loving your wives. And again, I can't stress that. That is key here. I believe that's key to your wife submitting unto you. And I'm going to cover that where she's to do that regardless, but I am telling you, husbands, I believe the key to your marriage rests with you. If you will fulfill your biblical responsibility, all right, I believe the Lord will work. but anyhow, in P&G, I was going through the different responsibilities of the husband and wife, and, well, over the course of time, to my knowledge, I don't think there is not one husband of all the families in both works that at not one point did not bring their wife to me and say, tell her to submit. I mean, they really liked that portion of Scriptures. And so they would bring her to me and, I mean, just straight up with her standing right there, tell her to submit. And I'd be like, no, I think I need to talk with you. And that's exactly what I would do. I'd actually would usually dismiss the wife and then talk with the husband at that point in time and let him know, I think you're missing the boat on this thing. I think you're missing it on how this really works right here. But again, they loved that part, literally. I remember one of them, kind of, one of the first couple times, it wasn't the very first one, the second or third one, I remember I wasn't even home. I was on the road in my truck heading back home and against a smaller area. It's a little island, and I'm in Nematanai, and he stops me, he's with his wife, and he tells me, you know, tell my wife to submit. And I said, what are we talking about? Well, when I want her to cook dinner, I want to be able to tell her, cook dinner. And he listed several things just like that. And he was failing to get the concept. It did not mean that your wife is your slave. She's your wife. All right? She is your wife. But today, the reality is when it comes to the family unit today, we are certainly seeing the destruction of the family from many different angles. All right, we're seeing it obviously through things like all of a sudden with the rise in same-sex marriage. That is an attack on the family with its target to destroy the family. But that's not the only attack on the family. The attack on the family where it's almost absurd if you happen to have more than two children. That is an attack on the family, all right? This thing of killing your unborn baby is an attack on the family. It's getting attacked from many different fronts and also from within, especially with the different the biblical principle that is brought out and how the home is to operate. And perhaps there is no more principle that is attacked more often of what the Bible directly teaches in relation to a husband and wife than that of the wife submitting to the husband. We all know how godly and biblical Jimmy Carter is. And if you remember a few years ago, I believe he's a Southern Baptist. Is that not right? I believe he's a Southern Baptist from Georgia. But of course, he absolutely refuted the idea of a wife having to submit to her husband, you know, as old-fashioned. The truths in this Bible do not change. Truth, listen, truth never changes. It does not change. It's not possible. This is from the Creator. Cultures change. There's no question about that. But the truth of this Word of God never changes. So the world has a serious problem when it comes to this idea of submission. If you were to look up, for instance, marriage vows on the internet, there's not too many examples you would find with the phrase in there that the wife will submit unto her husband. Many of those things that has been removed. Go to a Christian bookstore. You will find it in a Christian bookstore, but you'll find many examples where it's even removed from that source. They're trying to use worldly wisdom and trying to bring that into the families. And yet we see the amazing problems that are in our families today. The Lord has a reason for all of the ordinances and the guidelines He gives. They're not for our destruction or to make things more complicated. They really are for our joy. You know, I can't think of the whole illustration. I remember reading a sermon one time, and the pastor was using an illustration when I was reading the sermon, I didn't hear it, but he was talking in that sermon about how, I believe it was to young people he was talking to, and they were talking about all the fencing, it seemed, that was keeping them caged in, and they didn't like that. And I remember he gave a really good illustration. He said, well, that fence there, he said it's not, you know, keeping you from fun. And he gave out, I can't do it here. I wish I could have. I needed to go back and find that, reread it, so I could have, you know, presented it much more effectively. But his point was, it was really keeping them from destruction. And he had this thing all that he really just drew out there of, on the other side of that fence was basically just a cliff. And it was keeping you from diving off of that cliff to ruin. And he was trying to say that's the purpose of those fences that the Lord puts up. They're simply keeping you from ruin. It's not like Disneyland is on the other side of that thing. It's ruin. It's destruction that's there. So now we get to this portion here in Ephesians chapter 5 where God is giving the biblical guidelines in how the family is to work. And we've already looked at the husband, where the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And you follow through with that. You know, again, that is such a key to your home. And this also is very important to the home, though, and that is the wife submitting herself unto her own husband. It's not given in a way here that could be debated. That could say, you know what, we're not really... I did read one guy, it was kind of funny, he was trying to dismiss this in the Bible and trying to say how I can't remember how I was wording, how it really didn't mean submissiveness. But it does. You see, the word submissive here, it's actually the word that is used here in the New Testament, here in Ephesians and in Colossians, is a military term. It's a military term meaning to place under. There is no question that it is dealing with authority and the leadership structure that is to be set up within the home. The husband is the head of the home. This doesn't mean that man is superior in all ways. Now, certainly, the Lord knew what He was doing, and I do think part of it is the fact that the wife is the weaker vessel. There's just no denying it. I don't care if you can find one female out of 6 billion who can go to the Marine boot camp and happen to pass it. The other 3.1 billion can't do it. All right? Men are created different than women. But that doesn't mean at all that men are superior to women. Especially in regards to spiritual things or to intellect, it deals more with how we're constituted in the way that God made us, that men are created different and stronger, and where the wife is the weaker vessel. And when we try to mix that principle up in the Bible, you're going to get into trouble. Submissiveness is part of that principle that is given because the wife is the weaker vessel. Submissiveness is an absolute command of God. Ladies, understand the picture that God is trying to give us through the husband and wife relationship. And that is between Christ and the church. If I was to, how would I say this? If the way you act as a wife, all right, in your own family, all right, if the way you act as a wife before your husband and your relationship is supposed to picture a church, what type of church would you have in your home? All right? Let me rephrase that again. I'm trying to get the wording out. I'm figuring out exactly how I want to say this. If, again, the husband and wife relationship pictures the relationship of Jesus Christ and His church. So wives, if I'm asking you, within your marriage right now, in your marriage is supposed to picture a church in relation to Jesus Christ, what type of church would you have in your house? Would it be a church, a compromising church? Would it be a dead church with no passion? You know, last time I looked, the Lord loves the fact that we love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Ladies, I believe your husband would love it as part of that submissiveness as you're being submitted unto Him as the church is unto Christ if you had the passion for your husband that you're supposed to have. Nobody enjoys going to a dead church. Would it be a church in rebellion? A church that simply just ignores the things of the Lord and does what it wants to do? Again, if your relationship to your husband, which is supposed to be a picture of the church's relationship to Jesus Christ, what type of church are you? Hopefully it would be a church with power, with passion, with purpose, and knowing in what it is supposed to do in regards to its mission here on the earth. So we see that, again, the submissiveness is a picture of the church being submitted unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so is the wife to be submitted unto the husband. Wives, you are to submit yourself, the Bible says here, and I think this is important, unto your own husband. Not another man. You know, I know of many marriages personally that have been broken apart where this principle was violated. Again, I mentioned a part of this story last week when I talked about the sin of adultery. And I mentioned a couple of different illustrations of that, of stories about that by way of introduction, including a man who was in my wedding. And I went through part of that story, and I mentioned how he ended up catching her with another man. That other man was her boss. There's danger there. You're playing with fire when that comes into play. I believe wives are to be submitted unto their own husbands. In any institution, it doesn't matter what it is, you have to have a head. There has to be leadership in place if that institution is going to be successful. The Lord knew that. I mean, you see that design throughout the entire Word of, throughout the entire Word of God. And for the home, the Lord has established as the head of the home, the husband. And the wife is to submit unto the husband. You say, but you don't understand my husband. I'm smarter than he is. The Bible doesn't give you an exception for that. You are to be submitted unto your husband. You know, and husbands, listen, I do believe, although, and we're going to get to this here more in a second, but I believe, I don't have the story written down here, but it was Eisenhower who was giving a speech on leadership. And I can't quote from it any line of it, but I do remember what it was about. It was talking about, you know, leadership and leadership needing good followers. And his whole point of this, men, was this. He said it was important for his leaders and for him to be a person of integrity, so that his followers would follow him. It's important within a church. You know, one of the reasons why Pastor Roach was so successful here as a leader of this church, listen to me, was because of the integrity that he had. Nobody could question that. That led people to want to follow him. Husbands, if you're not going to have the integrity that's needed, you're making it awful difficult for your wife to submit unto you. Now, she still needs to. I'm going to get to that in a second. She still needs to, because it's right before the Lord. But again, I believe so much of the responsibility of the family lies with the husband. All right? We say, well, what are we supposed to be submissive in? Ephesians 5:24 answers that question for you. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. You mean in everything? Yeah, that's what it says. In everything. See, what part is the church not to be subject unto Christ? Which part? None. Nothing. Nothing. Then, of course, you get the hypotheticals afterwards. I'll just answer that right now because it'll come to me afterwards. So if my husband wants me to commit sin, do I commit sin? It's better to obey God than man. Just like we have government authority at that point in time that's in our life, but we also see the Bible principle that if the government is asking me to commit sin, it's better for me to obey God than man. All right. So no, I do not believe that includes sin at that point in time or any point in time. Again, husbands, this does not mean that you are to be some ogre in the home. You are to treat your wife as Christ taught the church. You certainly are to lead the home. And listen, I love the example that the Lord gives us of leadership in the Bible, and that is of a shepherd and a sheep. And a shepherd usually led the sheep by actually leading them, not by driving them. I believe that same principle carries over not only for the church and how it is to be led, but also within your home. Also within your home. And again, I can think of several times when I was in the military, again, and I had to submit unto the leadership that was given to me. I remember I just got to Elmendorf, and they were moving me to the Lariat, the different parts. And over, was it the west side over there where they used to have the F-15s or whatever it is now? It was F-15s back then. And I had to go over there to that branch for a few months. I remember the supervisor I had, and I was a brand new E-5. I just put it on when I got here. And I had a supervisor over me, thankfully, just for a few short months. And he was a nice guy, but he was dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, just wasn't all there. Now, I have a question for you. Did I have a right in the military, Brother Larry, to say, I am not going to follow your orders because you are dumber than a box of rocks? Absolutely not. I would have been disciplined for that, and properly so. Leadership has to be intact if it's going to work. Don't find excuses as to why you cannot submit to your husband. Again, it is a matter of being of obeying the Lord and following Him. Too often as Christians, again, too often we can find reasons why we don't want to do it. Maybe there's been issues within a family where bitterness begins to develop. There's the devil will try and get in any way he can to disrupt either of these orders, to get the wife not to submit, to get the husband not to lead and not to love. You know, he'll look for any door of opportunity he can come in to try and put something into the heart of the wife and maybe to get that thing to turn to an angle of bitterness, because once you're there, it's very hard, it's going to be very easy for you not to submit. It's going to be very easy for you not to submit. If you say, well, you don't understand, I don't like the leadership of my husband. Well, get down on your knees and pray for him. Be a help to him. But you still submit. Don't allow the devil try to come into your marriage and steal the joy that's supposed to be there. And the key to it is following the biblical principles that are here. Of saying, Lord, listen, we're going to do this right. Husbands are going to love the wives. And the wives say, you know what? I'm going to submit unto my husband as unto the Lord. That's a powerful statement right there, isn't it? As unto the Lord. That you determine that you're going to do this thing because, one, again, your submission to your husband is not based, listen to me, Although, as you can tell, ladies, I'm also coming down hard on the husbands to be the husband that he needs to be so that it's easier, or, you know, where you want to submit. Not that it's easier, where you want to submit. But understand me, your obedience to the command of submission is not based on your husband's character. It is to be done to be obedient to the Word of God as unto the Lord. You know, and that's how you have to look at that. You have to look at this and say, you know what? I am going to do this because I want to honor God with my life. You have to put Him first. When you are seeking first the kingdom of God, you go to God's Word and say, Lord, what would you have me to be as a wife? This is a role. This is a God-given position from you. What would you have me to do? And that's where you begin to see the truth here. All right, Lord, you'll have me to submit unto my husband. And say, Lord, you go first. I will do this as unto you. And boy, if you think about that statement, I mean, let's just go back over in our minds just this last week, you know, Valentine week. I'm sure we all had great marriages this week with Valentine's Day approaching, and nobody had a fight or a disagreement, except for Steve Brunk. I can see the look on his face. He's like, man, you weren't at my house. But ladies, let me ask you this right now. Let's just look at this the last 7 days. If you follow the principle of submitting unto your husband as unto the Lord. That's one of those ones that can go, ouch. But that's what's right. That's what God will honor. Again, a wife is to be submissive because it's right before the Lord, not because of the husband or because of the husband's character. Listen, again, you've heard me say it. I do believe the husband needs to do what's right, needs to love you, because I do believe that will fall into place. I believe the wife will want to submit. But wives, even if you don't have a husband like that, even if your husband is lost, you submit yourself unto him. That is the pattern for marriage that is God-given. Back in, we're not going to turn there for time's sake, Leviticus Genesis chapter 37, when Joseph is going through his different dreams. And in his dream there, he had pictured for what would be his mother at the time, but you know, Jacob's wife, was the moon within them that were making, that were bowing down before him. You had the siblings, the sun, the moon, and then his brothers all bowing down before him. And the wife in that example, again, the Lord pictured as the moon. You know, I believe the husband is the head of the home, but I believe that's a good example where the wife is sort of the heart of the home, the comfort. You know, it's that moonlight at night that provides comfort, that provides some light in darkness, that provides some guidance. You know, when your child falls down and gets hurt, does he run to dad? No, absolutely not. He runs to mom. He runs to mom, and I did this because why? What's mom going to do? There's such a difference between how mom would handle that and how dad would handle that. Dad would go, oh, you're all right. Move. That would be it. But mom would see that, oh, no. You know, and pick him up and clean it and everything. And so that's the comfort. It's the way God designed it to be. And listen, when either of these positions get out of whack, with the wife being submitted to the home, being submissive to her husband, or the wife not leading as he should and not loving the wife as he should, this affects the whole thing all the way down. It has repercussions that take place. It's a domino effect. It's going to affect many other parts of the marriage. But the wife is to be the heart of the home. She is to give comfort, not simply to her children, but even more so to her husband. I can think of many times in my life where things were just not looking good, but the Lord used Marianne in my life to be that comfort, to be that moon that I would need. That's what you need to be for your husband. You know, nowadays, again, the wife of the role is just so much looked down upon. We have this feminist movement that swept across really the world now that really destroyed the beauty, the grace, the power that was a wife. And the importance of that. And now it's went all separate ways. I mean, I'm thinking of a of course it's a lost person right now, but just decided, you know, the whole career out and I got married, but decided no children, anything like that. They pretty much lived completely separate lives. And one time, I don't know what was going on. She wouldn't get specific about details within her life, but definitely hurting at the point in time, and really hurting. And I could see she was actually substituting the need for the God-given relationships in her life with her pets. With her pets. And this person was older now. This person was probably in their early 60s by this time. And you could see the regret coming in because she knew that what she was missing. I have no doubt at night from talking with her, there were times that we're thinking that right now I should have grandchildren. Right now I should be enjoying all these different things. But she didn't have those because she chose this different way. She had followed the idea of the feminist movement and found out how unfulfilling it was. Ladies, you need to understand the importance of your role as that comforter before your husband. To be there when he does need you. To provide the comfort and guidance that is needed. You know, I also find it interesting that, you know, since Joseph had used that example of the moon has a lot of control even on the earth, doesn't it? Like with the tides. It moves that thing back and forth. And in New Guinea, of course, you can see that greatly here in Alaska with the great tidal waters here. But it was, I mean, we were on a small island, so we could see the effects of the tide each and every day. It really was amazing. And of course, where we were at New Guinea, the closest part it was, we were southern hemisphere. We were just on the other side of the equator. So the closest point that we were ever to the moon would be mid-December. And every single December, we had king tides that would come in. They would destroy homes. They would kill people. It would be like mini little tidal waves coming in. You'd expect it at that time every year. One year they were really bad, destroyed many villages along the way. That would have been in 2008, December of 2008. But you saw the power of that in relation to how close we were to the moon and how that affected our tides. See, I believe also that the wife can control almost even within the home the mood of the home. And that is true. When you go home, I mean, your wife can really set the mood for that. I mean, there's a big difference for the husband when he comes home. He gets there, and hey, honey, how you doing? You set the mood of the home. The husband doesn't. That's you. That's you. You are that comforter. You are that moon that is to be in the home. You're the one who sets that tone. You really have the ability, even if your husband's not, you know, as you two are trying to serve the Lord together, even if he's had a bad day, to sort of bring that balance into place in your home. It's amazing what will happen when he comes home and he simply gets that nice little kiss. Boy, I'm so glad you're here. You know, even if he's had a bad day, everything went wrong, and then he gets that. Again, there's that saying I heard. I think it was Pastor Berg used to say that all the time. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And that's true in a home. That really is. You know, if the wife is not happy, there's problems. I remember one of the illustrations he would give when he would say that. He never used the moon side of the house. I remember Pastor Berg would always use the thermostat. His thing was the wife is the thermostat of the home. Wherever that thing's at, that's where the home's going to be. And a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that. The wife is sort of that thermostat in the home. Why is that? That's so important for several things here, that of your own walk with God. Because to be submitted unto your own husbands, especially in the day we're living in, when it is counter to the culture that we are in, and you are bombarded every day as that truth is almost being presented as nonsense, when it is a key to your marriage, that your own walk with the Lord has to be so strong that through the grace of God you're fulfilling your God-given responsibility. That it's not just your husband or the children have the strong devotions, but you have the strong devotions each and every day so that you have the power that's needed to fulfill your God-given position within the home. So that you can be that thermostat of the home that you need to be. So that it's not always on 42 degrees in the home. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'll finish with this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children. Oh, by the way, look at that pattern right there. Marriage comes before children. Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Within the home, ladies, you can see some things after the marriage, you know, then we have children that come. You see, you're to guide the house. The Lord gives that responsibility to you to guide that. Again, in our world, that is not esteemed at all. Again, if you have more than 1.7 children, something's wrong with you. Listen, that is a worldly, carnal philosophy. You got to have at least 15. So we got to get going, Marianne, because we're like 10 more we need. But you are to guide the home and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. These are God-given responsibilities before you as you submit yourself unto your husband, as you guide the house. You know, that's not on your husband. You know, as you guide the house and you take care of the home and you come back, you know, honestly, ladies, the husband, as your guardian, should not come home to, you know, I want to be kind. I don't want to be a, you know, the feel kiddish type of that. I don't believe that helps any. But, you know, when the home is a complete disaster and your husband comes home, something's wrong. All right? Something's wrong. It's your responsibility to guide the home, not be on the computer for 12 hours a day. It's your responsibility to guide that with the children there, providing, you know, what is needed in the guidance to be there, you know, for your husband when he comes home again. It's a really good idea, you know. Your husband's just not going to be thrilled if you haven't shaved in 2 months. Again, as the wife in relationship to the church, it pictures the church within the relationship. I believe within that home there should be some passion, just like there should be passion for the Lord. I believe, and this is all along the lines of submissiveness unto the husband. And you're doing this again because I know you can come and tell me all the times everything that your husband does wrong. We're all there, all of our. I mean, could you imagine being married to Bob Seitz? I mean, wow. But there's not a wife in here, with the exception of mine, who cannot have a really long list of everything their husband does wrong. No, we all mess up. We're all sinners. But God does not give an out for you because your husband's a sinner. You don't have to submit unto him. Your husband already, the Lord already knew that your husband was a sinner before he gave that command. It's not based on his character. It's based on obedience. As you come in, you realize, listen, my responsibility is to guide the house, to give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And listen, these patterns here are given so that even with our children, as we're raising our children right, that they can see what a godly home is about, that they have a desire to serve the Lord and the desire to do what's right. But it is given for our benefit. Wives, again, it's so important, again, that you do submit yourself unto your husband in all things. You don't get to pick and choose which things you like. It's not a Burger King marriage. Remember that their average was in the 80s? How'd that slogan go? Have it your way. That was it. Have it your way. You know, you get to pick. If you don't want mustard, you don't get mustard. You don't want this, this is how we're going to make it for you. That's not how this works with submissiveness. As long as it's unto the Lord and in a picture given in the Bible as the church unto the Lord, again, I know that you might be, you don't have to come talk with me afterwards. I've heard all the arguments. I know some even say, well, even in sin, the wife should submit. I disagree with that. I do not think that, because this is a picture of the church before the Lord. And the wife is to submit in everything within that realm. And I believe that is a key to a happy home. I believe she sets the mood for the home. And I believe that the way through this in our day and age is the importance of that wife and her relationship with the Lord, that it's real. That you have your own time with the Lord and you strengthen your own walk with the Lord. And it's amazing to see, you know, I have mentioned frequently, and I do believe that, and I'll preach that hard all the days of my life, of how the influence of a husband is doing right in the home. I believe that always helps the wife do right. I do. I believe that love for the husband when it's right causes the wife to want to submit unto the Lord. But what's interesting is this. When you get into 1 Peter, what the Bible gives us who has the influence of doing right is the wife over the unbelieving husband. And let me finish. Let me close with this, and we're going to pray here in just a second. Let me close with this illustration, this story, true story, of a man. He's an evangelical. He's not an independent fundamental Baptist, but his testimony is very unique. He's a fellow who wrote the book called The Case for Christ. I don't know if you know his story or not, but it's very interesting. I've read the book. He was a journalist for the Chicago Tribune, very educated. And they were atheistic to agnostic in their beliefs. And one day his wife comes across, I don't remember, it was Christian friends, how she got saved, but she comes to know the Lord as her Savior, and she really gets saved. All right? Well, it completely changed her life. When her husband found out she converted to Christianity, he was furious, could not believe this was taking place. And, I mean, she couldn't believe it. He thought his wife was weak-minded, and he was just, could not believe this. He was ashamed of her. He didn't want to have to go to work and let people know his wife had become a Christian. Well, a few months into this thing, things began to change him. He had said, my wife was such a better wife. I couldn't believe it. I mean, his wife really took off with the Christian faith. I mean, she was submitting herself to her husband in all things. And the husbands realized, my home is better than it ever has been before. See, she was following the principle that's given to us in 1 Peter. He was following that principle there in Peter of the power that the wife has over the husband by her obedience. And so he determined at that time, I mean, he was an investigative reporter. He said, you know what, I've never actually researched Christianity just through his upbringing, university training. He believed it was all nonsense. So he said, but when he saw the very real change in his wife and how it affected his marriage for the better, he said, maybe I had to look into this. So he took 12 months to investigate Christianity. He traveled the country interviewing different people, wanted to know if it was real. He started with the Bible. How do we know these 66 books are even actually God's Word? He became convinced through his investigation this was in fact the Word of God. He got into the life of Christ and the whole book just details all of his research. Where at the end of the 12 months, of course, he converts to Christ, realizing that it was true. But that started with a submissive wife. That's how all that started. It wasn't by a preacher preaching some great sermon. It wasn't by that coming down hard. No, wives, maybe the key to your husband getting changed, it might not be the great sermon from this pulpit. It just might be by you being submissive to your husband and allowing God to use that to change him. But as I think we all know, our homes today throughout our country and this world are in trouble. We're missing out on the biblical responsibility and the biblical principles that are given. They're not difficult. They're not hard. The husband is to lead the home and love his wife. And the wife is to submit herself unto her husband, guide the house. And we'll get into some more things later on as we continue. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps you're here today, though, and you're not even